Okay, we continue our study in Isaiah. Our 21st study in the book of Isaiah brings us to chapter 34, and we pick it up in verse 1. Isaiah 34, verse 1, Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. From the New King James Version, verse 1 says, come near, you nations, to hear, and heed, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is in it, the world, and all things that come forth from it. God tells the entire world to listen to what he has to say here. And he tells us why in verse 2, for the indignation of the Lord is against all nations, and his fury against all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to the slaughter. God says that he is very angry at the world, and as a result, they will be punished. And of course, ultimately, this will take place at the end of the age when Jesus returns. 3. Also, their slain shall be thrown out. Their stench shall rise from their corpses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And this is a very gruesome picture that God paints here, and that's the way he wants it to be painted, because that's the way it's going to be. Rotting flesh will be all over the world, because when God gets through punishing, no one's going to be left to bury the dead. He wants this to be an ugly picture, because it's an ugly thing that it does picture. It's an ugly reality for sinners who refuse to repent. 4. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their host shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, and as fruit falling from a fig tree. When Jesus returns on Judgment Day, the sun and the moon and the stars are all going to disappear. It's going to be a part of God's judgment. 5. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom and on the people of my curse for judgment. And on the people of my curse for judgment, he says. God will use his sword of judgment to destroy the heavenly bodies, and after that he will punish sinful man. Verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made overflowing with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. Bozrah was the capital of Edom. Edom gave God's people a hard time during Old Testament days. So in spite of their great defenses, and they really did have some pretty powerful defenses that kept them safe, it's not going to keep them safe from the punishment of God once he decides to do it. 7. The wild oxen shall come down with them, and the young bulls with the mighty bulls. Their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust saturated with fatness. Blood will cover the land of Edom, and nothing will stop it from happening, because this is God's wrath because of their sin. 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. And these people better think twice about saying they're going to drive Israel into the Mediterranean Sea. You know, and I'm not saying that God has two chosen people, the Israelites and the church. He has one chosen people, and it is the people that Jesus Christ purchased by his blood on the cross. And whether you're Jews or Gentiles, you come to God through Jesus Christ, and that's it. But I'd think twice before I'd boast about how I'm going to destroy the nation Israel, wipe them off the face of the earth. in light of what God says here? God has a fixed day for Edom's punishment. It is written on his calendar and it is settled. They're going to get the punishment they deserve. Why? Vengeance on behalf of his people. Zion, referring to his chosen people in the Old Testament, the Israelites. 9. Its streams shall be turned into pitch, and its dust into brimstone. Its land shall become burning pitch. God says, when I get through with you, Edom, your soil and your water won't be good for anything anymore. 10. He continues, it shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall ascend forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. No one shall pass through it forever and ever. Edom will become a wasteland. All those who live on earth and have persecuted God's people of any age, their place of habitation will become a wasteland. It will be destroyed. And they will be destroyed. Verse 11, but the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it. Also the owl and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out over it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess like the earth when it was first created, empty and void, uninhabitable. 12, they shall call its nobles to the kingdom, but none shall be there. And all its princes shall be nothing. All of Edom's leaders will be destroyed as well. See, God's judgment doesn't respect social status. There are no important people to God when it comes to those who are punished for their sin. They will just get it, no matter who they are and what their status might be. 13. And thorns shall come up in its palaces, nettles and brambles in its fortresses. It shall be a habitation of jackals, a courtyard for ostriches. The castles and the palaces are going to be empty except for weeds and thorn bushes. That's the future of Edom, because they are under the wrath of God. 14. The wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the jackals, and the wild goat shall bleat to its companion. Also, the night creature shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. Wild animals will populate the places where those proud sinners once lived. 15. There the arrow snake shall make her nest and lay eggs and hatch and gather them under her shadow. There also shall the hawks be gathered, every one with her mate. And so the lowest of creatures will inhabit the places of Edom. All, and you know what? All these birds and animals that are mentioned in these few verses here, they were all designated unclean for God's people by the law of Moses. In other words, they could not eat them because it would make the Israelites ceremonially unclean. They were off limits and they were a picture of evil. And now these are the only kind of creatures that will inhabit the land that was formerly Edom because of God's judgment on them. Verse 16. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these things shall fail. Not one shall lack her mate, for my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. In other words, all this will happen just as God says it will. If God said it, well, then it's going to happen. Every one of these predictions will have their mate, and that would be their fulfillment. 17, he has cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it among them with a measuring line. They shall possess it forever, from generation to generation. They shall dwell in it. The point is this. What God has said, he will do. God will carry out his judgment. He will do it all, for sure. You can take it to the bank. Chapter 35. Now we're speaking of the future glory of Zion, the people of God. It says, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Big change is coming. for this earth and for God's people. It says in verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it someday, someday. The desert wastelands of the world will be filled with flowers. They will be like gardens. And you know what's going to make it happen? The cross of Christ. The cross of Christ on which he conquered sin and the consequences of sin will result in the earth again being what it was in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. The last part of verse 2 says, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God, constant fellowship with God anytime we want it. And we're going to see the glory of God because we're going to see it in his creation too, because it will be the way God intended it to be, and it's going to reflect the goodness of God in a remarkable way, in a way that we are not used to seeing. Verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. God is telling his people to hang in there with him, stay the course with Jesus, because it's going to be worth it. Verse 4, say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. God says, be brave. God says, put up with trouble for your devotion to me. It will not last forever. I will put an end to it. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. These things all took place, too, through the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and later on with his apostles when the kingdom of God began. And it began when the church began. It began with the preaching of Jesus, when he started telling people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. And so these miracles validated the message of Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And also these miracles were a foretaste of life in eternity. Look at verse 7. It says, the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. The hot desert sand will become cool, clear water after Jesus makes all things new again. 8. A highway shall be there, and a road. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. There will be a holy road. In other words, people will do things God's way, not the devil's way. And even those who, you know, maybe don't know a lot, according to this verse, can make the most out of their life if they walk the holy road, if they do things God's way. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. No dangers on the holy road. Those things that get others who go astray from God, those things that get others, they do not get those who follow God's way of holiness. It's not that you don't have trouble if you walk in a holy way. You just don't have that kind of trouble that the unsaved get or the rebellious get from not doing things God's way. 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And so those who persevered with Christ will feel at home in eternity. They won't feel like an outcast any longer, as is often the case in this life. God's people will be happy, and they will never be sad again. And we'll pick it up in chapter 36 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.